Being reminded of that wonderful promise that God gives to us there in the book of 2 Corinthians when he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for thee. And so I'm so thankful for that truth. Psalm 23 this evening as we continue with this series, the names of God, and we've looked at a number of them. Many of them, in fact, as we started the series, we spent 1 week and dealt with the name of God, looked at many references, and then we just continued to move on to the next one. And we've had now for a number of weeks the opportunity to deal with Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd, and we've looked at various aspects. We started out by speaking about David and how he so easily would have been able to relate to what was being communicated when God says that he's our shepherd. And I'm thankful this evening that we have the truth that God has provided to us, that he indeed is our shepherd. We know that throughout the Bible there are many illustrations, analogies that God uses throughout the scriptures, and he refers to his people as being sheep. And he is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. And he talks about he's the potter, we're the clay. I mean, there's many different examples that the Lord uses to help drive home some points for us to understand. Of course, we understand the greatest is that he's our Father and we're his children. And what a blessing. We consider 1 John 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And what a tremendous privilege that is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We've often said the Lord is the shepherd. He's the good shepherd, great shepherd, chief shepherd, if we were to look at the New Testament and look at those titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, as we look at Psalm 23, the significance is when David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And how significant that is. As we look at this text of Scripture, we've spent the last couple of Wednesday evenings dealing with the fact that we understand the provision of my shepherd, we understand the protection of my shepherd, and if I were to title the message this evening, I would say the presence of my shepherd, the presence of my shepherd. Notice in verse number 4, we touched on verse 4 last Wednesday evening, but the Bible says this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Then watch those words, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. Those are four simple words, but how impactful those four words are, that the psalmist says, thou art with me. I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Sheep by nature are anxious. We understand that the presence of their shepherd, if we speak about the livestock and the literal sheep and the shepherd, they're anxious critters, and yet the presence of their shepherd provides them with a level of security. It provides them with a measure of calmness. And this evening, as we think about this truth for us as believers, the presence of my shepherd, I want you to notice that as we look at Psalm 23, notice the confidence that David has. Notice that David says, thou art with me. David is confident in his understanding of the presence of his shepherd. I want you to notice that in verse number 4, when David is speaking about this experience, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he does not ask his shepherd, will you be with me? He's confident in the presence of his shepherd. We find that he doesn't ask the question. He doesn't, have you ever been in a situation where maybe a child would ask of a parent, well, will you go with me? They find a measure of security in your presence. Maybe there's a procedure that needs to happen medically. Maybe there's a dental appointment. I remember going to the dentist for the first time, and I remember I don't like going to the dentist the last time I went to the dentist, amen? But the reality is that I remember the first time and having that feeling of, will my mom or my dad be with me? Will they be there in the room? Why? Just because their presence provides some level of comfort, some level of security. And David doesn't ask the Lord his shepherd, will you be with me in this moment? No, he says, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. He had this confidence that his shepherd would be with him. Now remember, as we begin this study of this name of God, and we spoke about the fact that David was the human penman that God chose to use to give to us this name of God, that we understand that David, as a shepherd, he would have understood his place of being with the sheep. He would have understood what happened to his flock when he wasn't there. He would understand that. And so we find that he says, "Thou art with me." In the most difficult times of your life, in the most difficult times of my life, we can rest assured, we can have the confidence, "Thou art with me. Thou art with me." The Lord wants us to have that same level of confidence. The Lord wants us to know that His presence is real. He wants us to know. We understand that the Bible teaches us about some of the attributes of God, that He is all-knowing, He's omniscient, that He's all-powerful, He's omnipotent, that He's everywhere present, that He's omnipresent. We talk about Him being immutable and all of those things, but I want you to understand that His presence is real in our lives. And He wants us to have that confidence. He wants us to know. Look, if you will, at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 is a familiar passage of scriptures. We deal with the subject matter of the presence of our shepherd, and we talk about this promise often. But we look in Hebrews chapter 13, and we find that in verses 5 and 6, God provides for us great truth, desiring that we as His people would have this confidence that David had. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me." We find that in here in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Then notice, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." It's a passage, a couple of verses that we're familiar with, but why is it repeated here? Because God wants us as His people to have that measure of confidence that David had. He wants us to know that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Isn't that a precious truth of God's Word? We learn to live daily in the presence of God. We learn to allow this biblical truth, the Lord my shepherd, and yes, He provides for me, yes, He protects me, but His presence is with me, and it should impact each of us. It should have a deep impact in our lives. I believe that David desired for his son Solomon to understand this principle. I believe that David had a desire that it would have an impact in his life, in Solomon's life, the same way that it had in his life, David's life. And in fact, you don't need to turn there, but in 1 Chronicles 28:20, in the middle of the conversation, David says to Solomon, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." David had understood this principle. He had this confidence in his own life, but he wants Solomon to understand this as well, and he wants it to impact his life. The presence of our shepherd, the presence of my shepherd, ought to have impact in my life. You know, it's interesting to understand this reality in life and in our lives. The presence of certain people affects behavior. Is that not true? How many of you use Waze when you drive around for your maps? You use Waze. You're not going to admit it, but how many of you use it because it tells you where the police are? You understand what I'm saying? And what happens is the presence of a police officer affects the behavior of the driver. How many of you have seen it on the roads, right? You're driving, and you see this guy driving like crazy, and all of a sudden there's a police car sitting up there, and what has happened, man? He's on his brakes, he's moving over into a different lane, and his whole behavior of driving is affected simply by the presence of a police officer. They have a vehicle sitting over on Random Hills Road right now. It's been sitting there for a few days, and there's no officer in it. And it cracks me up because I'll be driving on Random Hills Road and some guy, it's only 35, somebody come flying past me, and then all of a sudden they'll see that car and you see the brake lights. And you just laugh because there's no one in it. But here's what I'd like to see them do. I'm on a rabbit trail right now and I'm going to get back to it. Here's what I'd like to see them do. Let it sit there empty for a few days and then put an officer in it. You know why? Because all those guys that go flying by and then slow down, they say, oh man, there's no one in there. So then tomorrow when they drive it, they're going to not slow down. Anyway, the impact of the presence of an individual. It's a simple illustration, but we can all relate to it. But this evening, I want to ask and I want to begin to make application in our lives is how much has the presence of our shepherd impacted our lives? How does it impact you today? When you understand that the Lord my shepherd, that he's with me, did it occur to you today? When you went throughout your day, did it occur to you at any moment today that the Lord is with me? Because the Lord my shepherd, he's with us. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want you to consider this evening just a few examples biblically of those that were impacted by this great truth. Turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, if you will. And I first want to start with the impact on Joshua. I want to deal with the impact on Joshua. Look here in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and then look over at Joshua chapter number 1. And I want you to see how this would have a profound impact, this truth that the Lord would be with him, this truth that we're looking at from Psalm 23, the Lord my shepherd. We find that here in Deuteronomy 31, Moses, the Bible says, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. He will destroy these nations before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he said to Sihon and to Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Notice in verse 7, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. Moses delivers the message in the first six verses of Deuteronomy 31 to the children of Israel. The Bible says that he said unto them, he spake these words in verse number 1, unto all Israel. He had gathered them. He's giving them this charge. But then in verse number 7 specifically, the Bible says that he calls Joshua. Joshua is going to be the human leader of the nation of Israel to take this mantle, if you will, from Moses and lead the people of God into the land that God had promised to them. And how impactful these words must have been to Joshua when he hears as Moses is giving him this charge that the Lord, Jehovah God, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee. They knew that there would be some things that they would face when they went into the land. But the presence of God makes all the difference. In Joshua chapter number 1, notice if you will now, as we consider the impact on Joshua, that now it's not Moses that's delivering this charge to Joshua. Now it is God himself that is speaking to Joshua. And God tells us that Moses died, and the Lord's going to now speak to Joshua here. And the Bible tells us in verse number 5, as we look at this, the content of what's going on, he says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Notice what he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You think that was encouraging to hear? You think it was impactful? I mean, Joshua was Moses' minister, was he not? Joshua saw, understood what it was when Moses was up on the mount and all that had taken place. And when God says, I was with Moses, I think Joshua understood. He saw, he was able to easily relate to what that was. And now God is saying, as I was with him, I will be with thee. In verse number 9, he says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." You think there were some things that they would face that could cause them to be fearful, to be dismayed? Sure there were. But the reality is that God confirms and really reconfirms this wonderful truth that I will be with thee. The impact on Jeremiah. Look in Jeremiah chapter number 1. We see the impact in the life of Joshua. Look at the life of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter number 1. And we understand, again, if we were to look at the greater scheme of what's going on historically, the timeline, Jeremiah's prophesying on the eve of captivity. He's prophesying to a bunch of stiff-necked people that are rebellious, people that don't want to hear, people that want to do what they want to do, people that are wicked, idolatrous worshipers, all that's going on. And God calls Jeremiah to minister in that day. By the way, it's gracious of God to call Jeremiah to minister in that day, because God was still calling for his people to return. He was still calling for his people to repent. Why? Because our God is long-suffering. Our God is gracious and he's merciful and he's calling for that. And we find that here in Jeremiah chapter number 1, we read in verse number 8, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Verse 19 here in Jeremiah 1, the Bible says, "And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." Aren't those some great promises? I want you to fast forward to the book of Jeremiah, and we could look at a whole host of verses, but for sake of time, just turn to chapter 20, if you will. In Jeremiah chapter number 20, Jeremiah was, he was dealing with quite a bit. And in Jeremiah chapter 20, the Bible says in verse number 7, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said," notice what he says, because of all these things that are going on, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word. His word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him." But notice verse 11. He says, "But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten." You know what Jeremiah remembered in the moment of being greatly overwhelmed and all that he's facing and all the pressures? He says, "But the Lord is with me. But the Lord is with me." How did he know that? Well, God told him, "I'll be with you." In chapter number 1, when God called him, we didn't take the time to read the entirety of God's call upon Jeremiah, but twice within the passage of Scripture, in calling Jeremiah, God confirms and reconfirms to Jeremiah his presence. "I will be with thee." And so in the moment of great difficulty, being overwhelmed with all that he's facing, coming to the place of saying, "I'm not going to speak any more in his name," but the word of God was like a fire. I mean, he could not forbear. He had to speak up, but he's dealing with all of this. But he says, "God is with me. God is with me." The impact of the presence of God in the life of Joshua, in the life of Jeremiah, I would say the impact on the disciples. Look, if you will, at Matthew chapter 28. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. We, many of us, could quote verses 18 through 20, and we're familiar with them, and we understand, we often would refer to it as being the Great Commission, rightly so. But we find that as we look here at Matthew chapter 28 and we consider the truth that God is giving to us with regard to our responsibility, our privilege of being His representatives, that He says this to the disciples. Now remember, this is after the resurrection. This is the time in which they're there up in Galilee. And the Bible says that Jesus says in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then notice this, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Don't you think the disciples were thankful for that little phrase that Jesus included, as it's recorded in Matthew 28, "And lo, I am with you alway"? The presence of the Lord. See, as we understand the Great Commission and we understand the marching orders, if you will, that Christ was giving to His disciples, that He was giving to us as the church, we find that they would face much adversity. They would face many difficulties. But they'd be reminded of God's presence. He says, "Lo, I am with thee." I think about looking at the book of Acts and beginning to understand some of the difficulty that the disciples faced with the persecution and obviously intensifying over those first several chapters of the book of Acts and never really letting up as you continue through the book of Acts. And you look at the journeys and the missionary trips and all that take place and the persecution and the difficulties. But yet, those disciples would have to remember, "And lo, I am with thee." The presence of our Lord and Savior, the presence of our Shepherd. And this evening we see that those disciples, they would face great difficulty, just as Joshua would encounter difficulties and oppositions as he would enter into the land of promise and lead the people of God. And he would face those things, but he'd have to remind himself, "God is with me." As Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, would stand and prophesy and deliver a message to a people that didn't want to hear, a people that sought to do him evil, a people that would like to kill him. "God is with me." The disciples. Many of the religious leaders didn't like the disciples. They didn't like the early church. They didn't like what was happening. They didn't like the spread of Christianity. That's what they do. Persecute. But God is with me. God is with me. I think of Peter in Acts chapter number 12. James is killed. Peter is imprisoned. And it's the intent of Herod, and by the way, he could carry out basically whatever he wanted to do in the position that he had. He'd already killed James. His purpose was to bring forth Peter and to kill him. But God knew exactly where Peter was, and Peter couldn't escape from the presence of God, and he was able to sleep in the prison between some soldiers, some guards. Why? Because of the presence of our Savior. I've often said this through the years. Many people are looking for peace in their lives. You ever hear people talk about wanting peace? We hear it in the world. We hear people talking about wanting peace and all those things, and we find that many people, individuals, they want peace. They want peace in their own lives. They want peace for their homes, their families, their relationships, etc. And oftentimes people think that peace is found in the absence of trouble. That peace is found when we can have everything aligned properly and there's no more turmoil, there's no more problems, and that's truly when peace will be found. But I would say to you this evening that as the people of God, we will have tribulation, but we have peace in the presence of God. Notice, if you will, in John chapter 16, and I want you to look here as we consider the impact on the disciples and then transition for us as we've looked at this. Look, David had confidence. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me." David wasn't asking, "Will you be with me in that moment, in that time of great difficulty? Lord, you're my shepherd, but will you be with me?" No, David was confident. And God wants us to be confident of His presence. We see the impact on Joshua and Jeremiah. We can think about the disciples, but I want to ask the question this evening, what impact has or does the presence of our shepherd have in my life and in your life? Do we regularly think about it? In John 16 and verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Many of us say, we get the tribulation part, we understand. But Jesus says, in me you might have peace. Peace in the presence of God. Understanding that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That His presence is real. And really the question this evening is, have we learned to live in the presence of God? Have we learned, I asked the question by way of introduction this evening, did it occur to you at any time as you went throughout the day today that the Lord is with me? Did it occur to us as we went through our day and whatever the routine of the day, whatever the craziness of the day, whatever took place today, did it occur to us at any moment that the Lord is with me? That His presence is real in my life? It's something that I'm aware of, something that I'm confident of. I think of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph is a man that I believe is a great illustration or example of one that learned to live in the presence of God. Joseph was a man who was living in a foreign land, a polytheistic culture, who did not know or fear Jehovah God. And yet Joseph had learned who God is. And Joseph had learned to live in the presence of God in a foreign land, and all that had taken place, and as Potiphar's wife would come and tempt him, and all that would transpire, Joseph says, as he flees, as he's dealing with that situation, how can I sin and do this wickedness against God? See, Joseph understood he was in the presence of God. There's something this evening that we appreciate about this truth that I'm speaking on this evening, because the reality is that God's presence should bring comfort in the life of His people. Just like we said that sheep, by nature, they're anxious, and the presence of their shepherd provides them with a level of security and helps them to have that anxiety decrease. The reality is that when we understand tonight that our shepherd is with us, it should bring us a measure of comfort. It should cause us to rejoice that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that my shepherd, He is with me. But I would say that on the other side of that coin, the presence can bring conviction in the life of a believer. Why? The Lord is with me. So where I go, what I do, what I'm watching, the Lord is with me. And it ought to comfort us, but it ought to convict us at the same time. The Lord is with me. Just like the presence of an authority in the life of a child or the life of a worker. How many of you ever been in the workplace and they're all just messing around, wasting time, using the company's money and resources, not doing the job that they're being paid to do? And then all of a sudden a bigwig, a boss comes around, and all of a sudden the behavior changes. Why? The boss is here. No. We learn to live in the presence of our Savior. We understand and we have confidence, as we've looked at this evening from the Scriptures, that our shepherd, He's with us, the presence of our shepherd. But how does it impact our lives? How will it impact us tomorrow and the next day and next week and next month when we're reminded that my shepherd, He's with me? David says, Thou art with me. Look, if you will, as we close in Hebrews 13. I had you there earlier, and we read both verses, but I want to just look at verse number 6 just for a moment as we close this evening. In verse number 5, the truth is stated at the end of the verse that he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In verse number 6, we find that the verse outlines, if you will, the impact of the truth that is previously stated of God's presence, that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So what is the impact? How does this affect you, and how does it affect me? The Bible says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Why? Because my shepherd is with me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the impact of that promise of verse number 5 is that we may boldly say, with confidence shall I say, because if we're saying something boldly, we're confident about it. And our boldness and our confidence is not based upon just simply what we might think. It's based upon what God said. It's based upon His promise, and therefore we can have the highest level of confidence and boldness. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. This evening, as we consider this truth, Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd, oh, I'm thankful that He provides for me. And He's a good provider. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Oh, I'm thankful for His protection. We talked about that last week. The protection, He's my rock, He's my shield, my fortress. Why did David say all those things? Because he understood the protection that his shepherd would give him. We look tonight at the presence. Thou art with me. I hope that it have an impact in my life and in your life as we go throughout our days, that God's with us. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You so much for the truth of Your Word, the power of Your Word. I thank You for the impact that this reality had in the life of David, the life of Joshua, Jeremiah, the disciples. God, this evening, as much as we can rejoice in reading the accounts and recognizing the impact of this truth in the lives of these individuals, I pray tonight that You would help us to have our lives, our behavior impacted by this truth, this promise, Thou art with me. Help us to live each day with the awareness that my shepherd's with me. I pray that have a great impact on our lives. I pray that You'd bless the time of prayer. We thank You for the privilege. We thank You for the opportunity. We thank You that You're a God who hears and answers. We pray, God, that You would have Your will and way through the remainder of this service tonight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.